Hi, I'm Strangey, and you're listening to Tales of Togger, the football podcast that absolutely nobody asked for, and I'm pretty sure not many listened to. Join us weekly to discuss all things Premier League and general football chit-chat, wherever you get your podcasts. And we are back at Tales of Togger here. This is Strangey. Very unusual to hear me first on the podcast, I'm sure. We will get into that in a moment. I am joined by the famous G. G, how are you, mate?
Great. I'm good, mate. Very good.
Good. You are back in Finland now. Is that correct? I believe you went back over the weekend.
That is correct, mate. That is correct. Back in old Helsinki, living it up.
Fantastic, mate. Great to have had you back for that time. And I'm sure you're enjoying being back in, is it Scandinavia, Helsinki? We'll go with Scandinavia. I think it is.
Yeah, I believe so.
Superb. So we are without the Hope this week. There is a bit of a mystery as to where he's got to. Some are saying he's still pissed after the Merseyside derby results at the weekend. G, any idea on where he's gone, mate?
Not really, mate. I've had, to be honest, since episode one, I think the calls for him to not be involved have been, you know what I mean? That's the main feedback I've had anyway.
So, in all seriousness, Hope is very, very busy with work at the minute, and he has given us the go-ahead to put out some content for you guys without him. I was going to compare him to James Rodriguez, as in going missing when it's crucial. However, after the weekend's performance and another assist for James, it turns out that he only turns up in the big games, it seems. So maybe he'll be back next time. We've got a stellar topic. Who knows?
Yeah, it does appear so, doesn't it? He'll come with the idea balls next week.
Fantastic. So what we're going to do today, guys, is we're going to run through our teams of the season so far in the Premier League. We're going to run through our 11s, have a little look at, are there any similarities? Has G somehow managed to put two guy in a current Premier League 11? And we'll have a little chat about that. We'll look at what's been going on in the Premier League in general over the weekend and look ahead to some fixtures next week. We will be hearing from our sponsor at some point, I'm sure. But yeah, that's probably about it for today. G, tell the listeners very briefly about what you were telling myself and Hope last night about your first evening back in Helsinki. What went on last night, mate?
I don't know if I can say this. Went out for a few bevvies. It was empty. And then I got told there was a DJ coming on. So DJ arrived. And just me and a DJ. So very intimate.
Fantastic. So Tiesto gave you a little intimate set all on your own in Helsinki. I mean, your life really is one that absolutely perplexes me, and I'm sure it does the listeners at home. But good for you. You're not feeling too delicate to go ahead, are you, mate?
No, I'm not too bad now, mate. Not too bad. I had a bucket of chicken, so I'm fine.
Of course you did. Brilliant. So let's talk team of the season. All right, let's have a look at, we'll go through our teams. I'm assuming you've taken this relatively seriously. I really hope you have. I know you're not a fan of certain sides. I know you're not a fan of Pep. I'm hoping that we'll see some City players in here with a bit of objectivity. But if not, I've got one or two in just about even the balance, I guess. So,
the way I've done it, kind of, I've looked at teams who are overperforming, I guess. Well, or performing to their expectation. So I have got one City player in. There is one who's made it because, well, the 10 points clear at top of the league, aren't they? So
right,
okay. They're doing something right. And then, yeah, that's a bit of West Ham, bit of Villa.
Like it, mate. Like it. So talk to me about your formation. How have you set the 11 up to fit your players in?
So I've gone 3-5-2.
Okay, three centre-backs, I take it?
No. Oh, that would make sense, wouldn't it? Actually, zero centre-backs.
Right, okay, of course. That's fantastic.
We're going to put three full-backs in a back three.
Brilliant. So, very mobile, not great defensively. Like it. So, I guess it doesn't matter, but let's start. Well, just to let you know, I've gone with an odd formation to try and shoe on some players in. I've gone with a 4-2-2-2. Very narrow.
Oh, nice.
And I'm sure the reasons for that will become clear. So, let's start with you in goals, mate. Who's your goalkeeper and why?
Well, our keeper, I think, will be the same. So it was between two. I've looked through the stats, and the keeper's the most I'd say effort I've put in, because after I'd read through the stats on keepers, I thought I can't do this for every position. Jesus Christ. But the two stand out, mate, are Martinez and Pope. And I've gone for Martinez, top of high claims, which I imagine is coming and claiming the ball in the air.
I imagine you are correct.
Yeah, we're Pope's. We've got 28 with Pope second with 21, so he's well clear on that. Saves fourth on saves in the league, and I'd say he's the only keeper who's in the top 10, maybe top 8 or 9, who's not in a relegation side, not in a team who faces a lot of shots.
I'm with you.
And also second clean sheets behind Edison. And I don't really count Edison because he's playing for Man City and they don't concede many shots. So, yeah, Martinez for me.
All good. I'm really impressed. You've done a bit of research, mate. As I say, I'm sure that will come to a screeching halt when we get to the back line. But well done, mate, so far. And no surprise, I am absolutely with you. I genuinely think the best goalkeeper in the league plays for my beloved Aston Villa. And that gives me a bit of a stiffy. So, for everything you've just said, and for obviously watching him every game he plays, he is fantastic. And I think the high claims thing you mentioned there is quite telling, because he is just an absolute beast in and around that area. He takes everything. So, he's brilliant. And yeah, one we agree on there, mate. So, that was a relatively straightforward choice, I suppose.
So before I go into my back three, I just want to say, I know I said teams were overperforming in a way of getting. So I'd just like to do an apology to Herb, because you'd argue Everton are overperforming, are doing well this season. I've not managed to fit any Everton players in.
Right.
Because no one stands out, do they? They're a workhorse team. No, nothing special. Shit to watch.
Well, I have managed to fit one Everton player in. However, I do understand where you're coming from, because I tried so valiantly to fit a Leicester player in and I haven't managed that, and they are fantastic.
But yeah.
I think that's purely because they're a great team, and whilst there are some good individuals in it, they work so hard as a unit, it's hard to pick some individuals out of it. So I do understand your conundrum, but it was just a different side for me. So let's get on to your back three, mate. Talk me through a couple of those. Who makes the cut and why?
Right, so firstly, this is me one City player. I've gone for Cancelo.
Yeah.
Because he's done what the Pep thing. This has always been Pep's thing, Annie. Let's make a right back playing four positions in a game.
Yeah. He loves and, that.
And I think last season, Cancelo didn't really step up. I think they didn't have anyone who did this, and this was kind of part of the downfall when obviously they lost the league by a lot last season. So, and for me, he stepped up this season. He looks just as good at right back as he does when he steps into centre mid. And yeah, I think he's been a big part of them being successful over the last, well, what we're looking at now, 4 months or something, where I don't know if they've lost.
Yeah, I completely agree. He has been absolutely fantastic. You could argue, obviously, the best fullback in the league, or you could certainly argue one of the best centre midfielders in the league. As you say, he does such a myriad of things on the pitch. He's been brilliant. And as you say, I think he probably was a little bit lacking in City's game last year. Kyle Walker is a little bit less disciplined, I would say, and struggled with that concept a little bit at times. So, yeah, I completely understand where you're coming from there, mate. Another good choice for me. He doesn't make my team. Now, I wrote him on and then scribbled him out just purely because I didn't want to litter it with one side's players, and I've already got a couple of City players who I think are probably, if not more worthy, certainly as worthy. So he doesn't make my team. What I will say is that my right back is Koufal from West Ham. So obviously West Ham are overperforming. They're playing absolutely brilliant. They seem to just grind out results when you least expect them to. And he has been a massive, massive buy for them. I think he cost them 5 million quid. And you know how highly I think of Jack Grealish, and he absolutely did a number on him when we played him. And yeah, that, for me, he just kind of stood out as a really solid bit of a battering ram of a fullback. So I've put him in there, mate.
Right, I'm surprised at that, because the next one in my back three, another fullback, another right back, is Matty Cash.
Yeah, and again, he's been absolutely outstanding. What I will say is, he's out at the moment, obviously injured, and that probably took him off my radar a little bit. But the last game he played against Brighton, I think it was, when we drew 0-0, he was a little bit poor, and he kind of just, with the form that we've been in compared to West Ham's, I just gave Koufal the nod for that reason. But Cash is number one on my honourable mentions list, which I'm sure we'll get to. So I tried to be a bit left biased as well. I didn't just want to put half the fucking Villa team in, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's easy to do that, isn't it? It's easy to do that. We'll see, you know, when we get two guys in Sherwood in centre midfield. But
yeah. You know what Hall would have been like if he were on here? It'd have been fucking Pickford, Godfrey, Keane, Mina, Baines somehow.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, to be fair, the one Everton player I can see, well, I'd say two, but the one who got closest, I'd say, would have been Lucas Digne or whatever. And yeah. I think if I'd have gone for a back four, he might have got in, but
yeah, might have snuck in. He would have been sub for Baines for Hope. But we move on. He's not here. He's still pissed. so go on, mate. Matty Cash. Talk to me about Matty Cash. What do you like about him? And I'm going to really enjoy this.
I just like, basically, one of them, Wan-Bissaka was on the list. But I think we've discussed this before. It's different in a sense that he come in for like 50 million. He's got Premier League experience. We know he's good. Whereas Matty Cash was coming into a new league. You never know if they can make that step up, do you? And he's just took it in his stride from the start. He's very high up on winning the ball back and assists. He's just, I think he looks like a good all-round fullback. And he's been a big asset, hasn't he, for Villa?
He has indeed. He's been a massive, massive buy for us. And he, as you say, one of them were, I knew nothing about him really when he signed. And you always worry that players might struggle to make that step up. And it literally looked like he belonged there from day one. So, yeah, absolutely worthy again, mate. And just missed out for me on account of me not being biased. Give us your third one, mate, and then I'll just quickly run through my back four because they're very straightforward, I think, for me. And you'll probably have a bit more detail than I do on this position.
Number three is Aaron Creswell.
Oh, nice.
As I say, I did a bit of looking through on the defensive side of things. After this, it's just basically my opinion.
Fantastic.
Yeah, what I looked at Creswell. Creswell, he's played more minutes than anyone else in the league. Well, joint top with a few, but he's played every minute by what I can see for West Ham.
Wow.
I think he's got six assists. He's obviously they do defend very well as well, don't they, West Ham? He's been solid.
Yeah.
And again, he's a player, I think, like you say, with West Ham, similar to Leicester, players can go under radar because they're a very good team. But you know what I mean? There's no one, like, they don't have a Kevin De Bruyne or a two-guy Carrick to do this.
No, I know what you're saying. And there's no, you know, you wouldn't say they've got a star man per se, would you?
They have the best player in the league, but I know people disagree with that.
Listen, I'm not going to do this again, all right? We're not having another fucking Declan Rice episode, okay? just forget about him before we go any further, all right? If he's in your team, fair enough, have a little minute on him, but then get it out of your system, all right?
Right, so, yeah, Aaron Creswell for me, and that's the back three. Cancelo, Creswell and Cash, like you say, not a centre-back amongst them, but, hey, football evolves. That might be the future.
Yeah. Hey, who knows? We might see a team of three or four fullbacks playing in the back line before you know it, based on the listening to this podcast. I'm pretty sure Neil Warnock listens, so maybe at Borough. We'll see.
I've noticed today as well, Barack Obama and Bruce Springsteen have brought out a podcast, and I'm not saying we've inspired them, but timing.
Yeah, bit of competition there for listens. I'm sure we'll be splitting our leadership. Listenership, should I say, with those guys. I'm confident. You know, I think we can get more impressions than former President of the United States, Barack Obama. Let's just see how we go. Three good fullbacks there. No complaints from me. I'm not going to argue the toss about any of them. I think they're all decent, solid players. And I think Cancelo's arguably, you know, absolute top bollocks. So, yeah, really good, mate. My back four, to fill it out, the centre-back partnership is Ruben Diaz and John Stones. They have obviously been the best partnership in the league by a long way. They concede so few goals. If I was to just choose one, Diaz would be the one to get in ahead of Stones. But because he's had that effect on Stones playing with him, they just look absolutely unbreakable. And John Stones looks like a new man. So I had to put them both in. For obvious reasons, I don't really think I need to say too much about those guys. They are top bollocks at the minute. And left back, I've gone for Luke Shaw. I think he's been outstanding this season for Man United. Just the eye test from watching him, he looks a different player again from the last couple of seasons. I've been openly critical of him in the past, saying he looked a bit fat, amongst other things. And he's been brilliant on both sides of the ball. He's excellent. He's excellent going forward, and he adds to that attack and gives the likes of Fernandes, Rashford a little more license to roam inside and do bits when he overlaps. But he's been really good defensively. I've seen him do really, really good jobs on top players playing out wide.
Salah
springs to mind. Go on, mate. You're all right.
Do you think Mourinho calling him shit in press conferences for 3 years might have put him down?
I think maybe it possibly has something to do with it. Or you could argue it inspired him to be better. So you could say the success of Luke Shaw this season is solely down to Jose Mourinho. That is an argument I'll be having with some Man United fans online later for a bit of time. But yeah, listen, I think his relationship with Mourinho was well documented. It wasn't pleasant on both, I think, from both sides. And yeah, he seems to, and I think credit's got to go to Ollie for that. You know my feelings on him, but he has brought some of those players who seemed like time was up at the club back to the forefront, and has given them a new lease of life, really. And I think Shaw is absolutely top of that list. I've been impressed with him. So yeah, he gets in at left back for me. Any issue with that, G?
No, happy with that, mate. Happy with that.
Welcome back, Tales of Togger. G, just very quickly, are you missing our host, Holb? Any regrets about going ahead without him?
I mean, it feels strange, mate, because it's like I say, I'm used to someone just talking absolute shite at me for half an hour. Like you say, I think if he'd have been here, there'd have been, like, it was very civil. We both picked our players, very sensible decisions. Good goalkeeper and backline at the minute. Whereas, like you say, he'd have chucked Pickford in there at number one because fucking he can play a 9 year
old kicking.
Yeah, and then, you know what I mean? That's me fucking having a bad mood for the rest of the podcast.
No, listen, I'm not trying to ruin your day, mate. You know, but we'll have a bit of a discussion and we'll move on. You know, I don't want you to go away from here miserable and hit the bottle again.
Then that's it. I contribute most of my drinking problems to our host. Just irritating me every day.
I mean, if there's one person who will be absolutely delighted that our host is not here, it will be my boss, Sean, and known Liverpool fan. He was dreading us getting back on the podcast after the weekend. He said, I'm not listening if Holby's on because I just can't put up with it. It'll make me want to... Well, I don't want to say what he said. It'll make him want to, but he wasn't best pleased about hearing his review from the Merseyside derby, so I think he will be relieved not to hear him. So everyone's a little bit happier without him, it seems.
It does seem that way, yeah. It does seem that way.
No, we look forward to getting him back. So, listen, completely different back lines there, as I would probably expect, knowing you. But I certainly don't think any disgraceful shouts. I look forward to some going forward. G, talk to me about midfield. How is it looking?
Again, I don't think you're going to disagree with any of my shouts. Obviously, we've got the two sitting in midfield of Tugay and Sherwood.
Yep, okay, brilliant. Let's just go. Well, this has been Tales of Togger. You've been fantastic. Cheers.
No, but when I say Tugay and Sherwood, I'm talking the new Tugay and Sherwood. Rice and Souček sat there. Honestly, they're just a joy, an absolute joy to watch. I don't know. Like, you've seen Lingard start playing. You've mentioned Cafal, or whatever his name is. I don't know who's doing scouting at West Ham at the minute, but Jesus Christ, they're finding some gems, aren't they?
No, listen, they have performed exceptionally well in the market. I mean, they look a good, tidy outfit, don't they? And they're all players who you've just never heard of. They just turn up and they start playing phenomenally well. So
I was looking at Souček. I don't know where he came from. And I think he was playing at Slavia Prague. And they loaned him out two seasons in a row before he went to West Ham. He obviously won't even get in its Slavia Prague team, wherever they are. Nobody even knows who they are. And then West Ham have pulled him in and he's just a world beater, isn't he?
Yeah, he looks fantastic. He's just one of those midfielders who has a bit of everything, doesn't he? He's strong, he's mobile, he obviously is good for a goal. I think he's in double figures maybe, if not certainly close for the season. He gets up and down. He's rock solid. He just seems like a double hard bastard as well. I know he split his head open at the weekend, didn't he? And jumped up off the line and fucking blocked a shot or something, and everyone was raving about it. He just looks like a proper old school, down and dirty centre midfielder. And I fucking love to watch him. Again, he was brilliant against us. I don't watch too much West Ham because, you know, I don't have a vested interest in them. But every time I've watched them, he's looked brilliant. And listen, I know you love Declan Rice. I love him slightly less, but he has been fantastic this season. There's no denying it. So again, they're worthy shouts, mate. They're absolutely worthy shouts.
Yeah, I won't go into it too much on Rice because I might do a solo podcast one day on him.
Right.
But we're talking Xavi and Iniesta rolled into one, aren't we?
Listen, good. If you keep this up, I'm going to fucking cut you off and I'll do it on my own. I'll just read my team and call it 15 minutes podcast. Listen,
I've just said as well, we're playing Czech Republic in Euros first game. That'll be a lovely little battle in Rice v Suchet.
Oh, yeah, they'll be against each other, won't they? Yeah. Lovely, that. And that's the day. That's the day we come out of lockdown in this country. Obviously, you're all right over there in Finland, but yeah, first day, England, Czech Republic. Looking forward to that. So I've got two in holding midfield, centre midfield, I guess you would call it, because I've got two attacking midfielders. I've gone for Suchek as one, so we are in common ground there. And the other I've gone for is İlkay Gundogan. He has been a fucking revelation this season. He has always been decent, obviously, but my God, he looks like he's suddenly one of the best midfielders to ever play the game. He scores, he assists, he's in the thick of it, he's all energy. Any thoughts on Gundogan, G?
Right, so my problem with City is I don't watch him much because I like forward passing. And for me, you know what I mean, 90 minutes of sideways passing. I caught a bit of the Arsenal game at weekend and they just bore me. I appreciate they're obviously the best team in the league. The league table shows that. But yeah, they just overwhelm teams, don't they? It's not.
They do.
And it just bores me, to be honest. But yeah, fair play. From what I've seen, from what I've heard, he's fantastic.
Yeah, and he's another one of those players who you've known he's always had ability. Obviously, he's played at the highest level, but he just looks like a new man this season. And in a weird role, he's kind of playing as a number eight, but getting more forward than he probably ever has. And he's just contributing massively in the final third. G-mate, interestingly, you say you don't like watching City because all they do is pass sideways. But talk to me about how they're romping away with the league. How did they get the ball in the back of the net, mate?
Like I say, it's a strange one, mate. It's just, I mean, like I say, I watched it the weekend and you've got, they've managed to pass it sideways enough at a slightly forward trajectory. Eventually, the ball landed on 5'6" Sterling's Bontz, unmarked for whatever reason. I mean, I'm not going to go into Arsenal's defending because we can go into that for months, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we can have a couple of hours on that easily, couldn't we?
Yeah, and I mean, it's what they seem to do is what I've seen recently. Obviously, they started really badly, didn't they? No one seems to have set positions, which I do quite like. Whereas at the weekend, I mean, I don't know who was playing up top really, because one minute it was Sterling, then it's Bernardo, then it's, you know what I mean, Mahrez.
Yeah.
You know me, mate. I've never been a big fan of Pep. Well, I have, but he's failed.
Right.
But yeah, it's quite intriguing what he does, but. Will he win a Champions League with it? Probably not. Is that the only reason he's there? Yes. So,
listen, we'll do a Pep Guardiola episode next time out. All right. I'm not letting you derail with your Pep vendetta. Okay. But yeah, you're absolutely.
Yeah, we both agree.
Say that again, Rice. No, we don't agree on that. Rice just misses out for me, just because I wanted to include the team who are 10 points clear in the league. But yeah, worthy choices, no complaints. And I knew Declan Rice would be first name on your team sheet because you're a knobhead. So moving on, talk to me about your attacking options in midfield. G, who have you gone for?
So I've gone for kind of them two sitting and then I've gone for the three. So we've got a number 10 in between behind two strikers and left and right wing kind of thing.
Yep.
So left wing, we've gone for Jack.
We have.
he's just a revelation, and he's just great hair, great on the ball. Yeah. He's got it all, Annie, and he'll. I imagine the summer, nothing against Villa, will move to a bigger club. And I think he's good enough to play for anyone in top four, really.
Yeah, I would agree. I think he is top bracket of footballer. He's got it all. It's an absolute worry for an Aston Villa fan, absolutely. He just continues to perform brilliantly and put himself more and more in the shop window. The one good thing is we've got we'll get max money for him because he's got loads of time left on his contract. But I would agree that it's probably a matter of time before he's smashing him in the Champions League. His calves are fantastic. You didn't mention them, mate, when you were talking about everything that's great about him. The way he wears his socks, his hair, he's just gorgeous. And he's probably the best player to ever play football, I think. So you have to have him in, don't you? So, yeah, agreed. He's one of my attacking midfielders.
And my other one, the man who's outshone him all season and will play for England, I imagine, James Maddison.
Right, let's move on. Who else have we got on the right wing, mate?
Well, Maddison's on the right wing, mate, because I've put Grealish at left, and I know Maddison doesn't play there, but like I say, it's not a conventional side. We've got three fullbacks. I'll put players wherever I want.
Yeah, fucking right, you will. Yeah, it seems a very attack-minded setup, but listen, you're just overwhelmed signs with it. I love it.
It is, mate. We're going for the Tony Mowbray 1-7-3 formation.
Fantastic. Brilliant.
And what I like about Maddison is what you said before when you were saying about Leicester. He couldn't fit a Leicester player in because it's a great team. But I think he's the one. He's just got that bit of magic in him, you know what I mean? Which keeps that team ticking in a way. Like when they do need a moment, when they do need someone to step up, he tends to be the man. I know you've got Vardy. Harvey Barnes seems to be playing well. But for me, he's the class act footballer. So yeah, he's in there for me.
Listen, I completely agree with you. I think he's a wonderful player. I liked him, obviously, I've liked him for a couple of years, and he seems, under Rodgers, he just seems to be a really, really good fit, that, doesn't it? Because Rodgers seems to just, he gives him enough creativity and freedom to make things happen, but he also just seems like he's really drilled into him the sort of discipline team ethos in him as well. He just seems to be thriving under him. And yeah, listen, I think he's brilliant, mate. And he'll certainly be in and around the England setup and should be worthy of a game or two, really. You know, I think Jack's slightly better. I do. But yeah, he's certainly in that conversation as sort of top attacking midfield talents in the league, mate. Definitely, yeah. But the number one, I assume we've both gone for number 10, who I think is obviously the best attacking midfield option in the league, is Bruno Fernandes. Am I right?
Yes, 100%, mate.
Yeah, listen, I hate him. I can't stand him. I think he's a little rat bastard, but he is a phenomenal football player, isn't he? Goals, assists. When he doesn't perform, Man United don't perform. They are absolutely reliant on him, but he, more often than not, does the business, doesn't he? He's world class, I would say, and I don't think many would argue, really.
No, when you call him a rat bastard, he's one of them, and if he's on your team, you love him.
Oh, absolutely. Like Jack, you know, rival fans absolutely despise him, but I adore him, but he is exactly that. He's the person you would love on your team, but you fucking hate when he's against you.
Yeah, Robbie Savage, if he could play football.
Yeah, basically, a much more talented Robbie Savage, I suppose, is where we'll go with that, yeah. But yeah, he's brilliant. It would be remiss of me to leave him out, just because I can't stand him. So I've not done that to keep the integrity of the show. On James Maddison, by the way, quickly, Hope doesn't like him, does he?
No, he doesn't. And he talks shit again. He keeps saying that he couldn't go to a top four side when he's playing at fucking second or third in league.
Yeah, he doesn't like him. Doesn't rate him. Well, doesn't rate him might be harsh, but he's definitely got an issue with him.
Yeah, he's got an agenda, hasn't he? We've discussed his agendas in the past.
Yeah, have you?
If he went to Everton, mate, he'd be best player on planet, guarantee.
Yeah, listen, no, very fair, and probably the same for if Bruno signed for Villa, he'd be my favourite man on the planet. So yeah, I get it. Talk to me about your forwards, mate. Let's move on to the centre forward position. You've got two, have you?
I've got two. First one, I've gone for someone who I didn't even think was doing that well. I don't know, he's probably just fallen into it because Liverpool have been so shit over the last couple of months. I'd just not been I thought Mo Salah's not been performing as he has over the last two seasons. But he's top goal scorer at league by a couple of goals, so you can't knock the numbers, can you? He's there to put ball back at net, and he's still doing it even when the players around him aren't performing as they have been over the last couple of years. So, yeah, he's in there.
Yeah, listen, I understand the choice. And I, when I was doing a bit of research myself, I noticed, I knew he was about top goal scorer, but I noticed he was a couple clear. He doesn't make my team, but this sounds ridiculous for being the top goal scorer in the league. But for me, he hasn't been performing like he was last year, like last couple of years. He looks a bit less interested. He looks a bit less urgent. But he's still top goal scorer in the league. So it's kind of a bit of an oxymoron, really. But
that's it. Are you just comparing him against his own standards? So he's been that much better than everyone else in a sense for the last couple of years that...
Very possibly. This is it. I could just be completely undercutting his contribution because I'm used to seeing him absolutely blistering and on it and Liverpool firing on all cylinders. Very possibly that there's that there. But no, he doesn't make my team for me. Do you want me to tell you who I've gone for my first striker?
Go on, mate.
This won't endear me to any Liverpool fans. I've gone for Dominic Calvert-Lewin over Mo Salah and any Liverpool forward. For reasons that you mentioned at the start of the show, mate, because I think Everton are slightly overachieving, maybe, or you know, they've come to them, and they're kind of what we want to see from an Everton side. And he has been their talisman for most of the season. I think he's second or third top goal scorer in the league. He seems to be moulding into a really nice, well-rounded, complete forward player. And I really like him. And I think because I've no other Everton players in there and because of how they're doing, I've had to pop him in. So, yeah, he's my first centre forward. Any arguments, G? Any issue with that?
Yes and no. He was my third choice. So I can fully see why he's in there. But for me, Salah scored more goals than him. And Harry Kane has scored the same, but Harry Kane has far more assists.
Yeah.
So for me, they're the two. I've gone Kane and Salah.
Right, and I've gone Kane and Calvert-Lewin. So I completely agree with Kane. And again, they are a team that are seriously underperforming, but fucking hell, have you seen his numbers?
Yeah, it's ridiculous, mate. And another reason that the manager's clueless and I'd say should retire.
Listen, we'll touch on that in a minute when we round up the weekend's fixtures because there's a glaring one in South London there. But yeah, Harry Kane is world-class for me. There's no denying that. I think he's got 26, is it, goal contributions this season or something?
Something like that, yeah.
It's just absolutely fucking ridiculous. And he is the best all-round forward in the league for me. But playing in a team that are seriously in a bit of trouble, I suppose, in terms of what the expectations would be. Good. Quite similar teams there, G. I was expecting maybe the odd curveball in there from you. I think you should have had more City players, but we know that you do have a anti-Pep stance.
I don't see it, but I'm surprised you didn't put De Bruyne in. To be fair, but
he was close, but he's just not played as much in the last few weeks because he's been out injured. So he just hasn't played as much as the players I've put in. So that's maybe what went against him.
Goes missing in big games as well, doesn't he? Which is always an issue.
Yeah, a bit weird that. When you look at his numbers in the big games, you're talking absolute fucking tosh wagon. But listen, we move on. Talk to me about any honourable mentions. Anyone who nearly made the cut, G? Anyone you'd like to sort of shoehorn in if you had a do-over?
Jesse Lingard.
Right, it's enough. Next.
I've gone with a manager, and I think it's probably an obvious one, but David Moyes.
Yeah, I could go with that. Absolutely, I can go with that, mate. He's doing a fantastic job, and I really like Moisey. I've got a bit of a soft spot for him. He just seems like a lovely bloke, doesn't he?
He does. I didn't think they should have given him a United job, and I don't know. I just thought he weren't that good, and he's proved me wrong. Yeah, so fair play to him.
Fair fucks to him. Yeah, I'd go with Moisey or Rodgers, I reckon, as the gaffer. But I'm happy with Moisey. No issues there. Couple of honourable mentions from me. Any word on James? G, was he close or?
No, I didn't come into consideration once, mate, to be honest.
Oh, okay. I actually considered, they're not considered, I would never put them above, but I looked at the centre midfield pairing of Decore and Alan for Everton. I think they really set the tone. I like them too. Obviously, Matty Cash we touched on. Ezri Konsa was my third choice centre half, being a bit biased there, but he's been unbelievable. And obviously, you're looking at players like Harvey Barnes, Phil Foden, who you know might have made it if there was a few more spots up for grabs. But no, nah, listen, really good, G. Hey, and I'm fucking proud of you there. Nothing daft from you. Well done.
Hey, no problem, mate. I think the team picked itself, really.
Yeah, and listen, we weren't far off together, were we? We'll be right back, guys. This week's show is sponsored by the David Batty Spice Rack. David Batty, former England and Blackburn Rovers midfield legend, has opened up a store selling his range of famous herbs and spices from saffron to cumin, tarragon to thyme. David Batty is your man for all your spice needs. That's David Batty Spice Rack. We thank you for sponsoring the show. Welcome back to the show, guys. We have done our Premier League team of the season so far, and there were some very reasonable shouts on both sides there, I think. Let's just have a little look back at the fixtures from the weekend and discuss them very briefly, and then we'll look ahead as to what is to come this week. So, G, coming to you, obviously, here on the big result from the weekend, talk to me about Southampton 1, Chelsea 1.
Southampton 1, Chelsea. I really like this Tuchel. Is that how you say his name? I don't like it. It's Tuchel, whatever it is.
Yeah, you like him? Why, mate? Talk to me about why.
They're just solid, which Chelsea weren't, were they? Chelsea weren't solid. And yeah, he just seems to have got him going. He seems to have just walked in there. And it's like he's not even a new manager, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, he seems to hit the ground running straight away, doesn't he?
Yeah, I'm impressed by him. I mean, Southampton have gone off the boil a bit recently, haven't they? Started well. Yeah. But, yeah, so I think 1-1 will be disappointing for Chelsea, to be fair, but I think they're going in the right direction.
Yeah, I would agree. I think they've looked very solid and compact defensively, like you say. He's made so... It's weird. When you look at the sides he's putting out, Tuchel, I think it's Tuchel, you would think, why the fuck is Marcus Alonso back playing at left-back? And why the fuck is the age of the squad gone up by about 5 years? But I think they just needed a bit of a steal to them, didn't they? And bringing in some more experienced heads and having a bit more of a set 11 seems to have worked for him so far. Gee, are you like me in that you would happily see Burnley 0, West Brom 0 in the Championship next year and have no bones about it? It's just a terrible fixture and no one should be forced to watch it. Am I right?
Yeah, and it's a shame with Big Sam in it, but because obviously I'm a big fan. But yeah, he can't work miracle. He can't save them. They're awful. They're and we've discussed Burnley before. To be honest, I'd liquidate them. I won't even put them in Champions. I'd get rid of them. The club.
Just send them back to League Two. Just start again. Give it a
go. Start again. Exactly. But yeah, it's not. And you knew it was going to be 0-0, didn't you? You could have asked me before the game, what score is this going to be? It's going to be 0-0. It's going to be shite.
Yeah, no, it was. Not I watched it.
I didn't watch it, obviously, as I imagine. No one in the world did. I don't. I imagine Sean Dyche probably did for a brew half an hour in. Yeah, so no, not for me. Both of them, I'd happily see them out of the league.
Yeah, I watched probably about 10 minutes of it just as I was flicking through the TV on Saturday, and it was just garbage. And I said out loud, just relegate both of these teams based on this game alone, really. It was terrible. So, yeah, nothing really happening there. Fulham 1, Sheffield United 0. Sheffield United, they're fucked, aren't they? Let's be honest.
They are. Yeah, they are. And I'd quite like to see Fulham stay up. They've started playing a bit of decent togger.
I like Parker. I was very vocal in my disgust of Fulham when we played them earlier in the season. They looked terrible. They looked like they were just bound straight back down. But since then, they've almost gone on a little bit of a nice run, really, picking up some points where they need it. And yeah, I think they might have a chance, really, to stay up, because Brighton aren't looking all that at the moment.
Well, Newcastle, I think, are the ones, aren't they? They've dropped right now. I think Newcastle are closest to drop, fourth from bottom.
Yeah, they're really struggling under Bruce. Obviously, they took a hiding against Man United on Sunday evening, which seemed a bit of a formality. 3-1, and I think it probably could have been a lot more based on the stuff I saw in the second half there. Talk to me about we briefly touched on Arsenal Man City, an expected win for Man City. The Arsenal terrible at the back. Talk to me about West Ham Tottenham, G. West Ham 2, Tottenham 1. What about Mourinho? Tell me about how in trouble he is.
I'm surprised he's still there now. He's gone in. I've argued this for a while, that their squad is as good, apart from City maybe, as good as anyone at league. You look at Liverpool's bench and you look at Liverpool this season, how they fell apart a bit with a few injuries. Spurs have good strength in depth. They've got a good first 11. Defence is a bit shaky, but I think he spent about 130 million, Mourinho, hasn't he, since he's gone there. Inherited a Champions League final team and the 9th in league. Like, that's unacceptable, mate. Like, I think I mentioned to you the other day, he's like Kanye West, mate. We want him to be good again, but it's not going to happen.
Listen, I love Jose, as you know, but the sort of defence and the excuses I can come up for, you know, I can come up for him are running out, really. It's just, and I think one of the pundits alluded to it on Soccer Saturday over the weekend. It's fine when you're coming in, Jose, and you're playing negative shit football and you're eking out 1-0, but they're not good to watch and they're also losing. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. It's not even like they're playing really well and expansive and, you know, creating loads of chances, just not going their way. They're not actually playing very nice football either.
No.
So the fans will absolutely... Well, I know a few Tottenham fans and they're already on his back. But yeah, I mean, maybe the writing's on the wall there. But the question is, who do you bring in? You know, who's as good or as qualified or... I don't know. It's probably for another time.
I know he's mentioned going for Europa League heavily. So I guess if they win that, I think they'll get in Champions League. It's a trophy that Spurs don't tend to have.
Yeah. And then
so maybe that'll save him and he can go on from there. But I just can't see it.
You look at the season very differently then, I suppose, if that happens. But we'll wait and see how that one plays out. And, I mean, there's a couple more results there that aren't really worth talking about. Villa 1, Leicester 2. I saw the team sheets. I thought we're going to get battered here. So I was quite surprised that we only lost by one goal. No Grealish, no Matt Cash. We went down quite early. I thought, Jesus Christ. But we had a decent second half. We gave a good account of ourselves. But Leicester just a little bit stronger than us at the moment. And that was a fair result, really. Talk to me about the Merseyside derby. I know Hobe would be on us if we didn't even touch on it. What did you see, mate? Talk to me about what you thought.
Yeah, I don't want to give Everton too much praise. Like I said, they should be top four easily.
So who should they be ahead of, mate? Talk to me about who drops out of that top four to let Everton in.
West Ham.
Right, no, but I mean the general top four. So you're looking at your two Manchester clubs. You're looking at Chelsea, Liverpool, Spurs and Leicester, you would say, are probably the six who are most likely now. You're expecting Everton to leapfrog three of those teams, aren't you?
Yeah, and I don't think it's a massive concern which three. He just, I'd expect him to do it.
Right, okay. I'm sure he'll have something to say about that when he returns next week, our host. I'll be sure to ask him. Looking ahead, G, to Premier League fixtures this weekend, very briefly, we've got one tonight, actually. Leeds and Southampton at Elland Road. What do you reckon, mate? I call a Leeds win there, personally, because Southampton are really struggling with injuries.
Yeah, it's always a strange one with Leeds, because you never know. They suit playing some teams and they fall apart against others, don't they?
Yeah, that's a very fair analysis, I'd say.
I'd probably go Leeds win as well. I know it's Champions League night tonight, so I won't actually be watching. I think I'll watch Chelsea, Atletico.
Yeah, lovely. Very nice.
I'd go your Leeds win there.
Fair, we agree. City West Ham, that'll be a good game actually. West Ham will, have to show a little bit of what they're about on Saturday. Midday kickoff, City at City. So, will be a tough ask for West Ham, obviously. But you reckon they can give a good account themselves there?
I'd like to think so, mate. But City keep playing and I keep thinking, this will be their undoing this. Someone's going to do them. And then they don't. And the sideways passing continues week in, week out. I'm probably going to go for a City win again.
Yeah, very fair. West Brom and Brighton. I mean, the less said about that one, the better. But maybe a chance for Big Sam to pick up some points. Who knows? Leeds and Villa, tea time kickoff on Saturday. That's great news. The missus will be absolutely buzzing that another Saturday evening has been ruined for her by my beloved Aston Villa. But
that's a Villa win, that. There.
Say that again, mate.
That's a Villa win, I reckon.
You reckon? They did us the first game out this season at Villa Park. They battered us. But Well, there's rumours that Jack could be back for that. He was expected to be out a couple of weeks, but it's gone a little bit better than expected. So that seems to be going all in the right direction. Newcastle Wolves, again, a shit fixture for me. Not interested.
No.
Crystal Palace Fulham, same. Leicester Arsenal. Do we imagine Leicester will absolutely humble Arsenal at the weekend on Sunday?
Yeah, mate. For me, Arsenal are a bottom half team now. They really are. They're just
you
shit.
You slip that far?
Yeah, yeah. I'd think there's 10 better teams in that league than American are a bottom half team.
Wow. And a quick word on your brother?
Rick.
Thank you. That was very quick. Tottenham Burnley. Now, Jose has to win that at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, doesn't he? He has to.
He does, but I wouldn't be confident if I were going into that because, again, Burnley will sit. So that, to me, could be 11 Spurs players sat in Spurs half, 11 Burnley players sat in Burnley half, 0-0.
Big banana.
Nobody makes any attacking intent for 90 minutes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, it's a tough game, really, because, like you say, they're very, very compact. They sit all behind the ball. They're horrible to play against. And I think if they don't get something out of that game, 3 points Tottenham, then the pressure will really be on Jose, won't it? Huge game on Sunday, I've just seen. I didn't even know this was happening. Chelsea Man United at 4:30 on Sunday. Any thoughts on that one, G?
Nice. Bridge. I'd have to go Chelsea in that, mate.
Wow, you really do like Tuchel.
Yeah, for the reasons you said, I think he has brought in a bit of experience, which will help against quite an inexperienced United team.
Yeah, very good.
For me, if they played each other earlier in the season, didn't they? It was one of the worst games of football I've ever seen. I'm sure it was 0-0.
It was awful. I remember watching it and it was being absolutely dreadful, yeah. So
So I think it'll be another tight game, but I'd go Chelsea for you lads who base your hackers on me.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll be fumbling for Sky Bet in the droves, mate, to put these on. That's literally why I'm doing it so slowly so everyone can add them to the bet slip.
So I'll go home win on that one.
Home win, brilliant. That's a one for anyone playing the pools. Sheffield United against Liverpool. Wilder versus Klopp. Fucking handbags on the touchline. I hope there's a fist fight. I love to see it.
Yeah, I still don't really understand why Klopp went after Wilder that time, but
yeah, it was weird one that, weren't it, with Klopp, because he wanted more subs. He said we should have 5 subs because we players are knackered, but then Aston Villa schoolboys played him in the FA Cup and he played Fabinho, Salah, Henderson. So, shove it up your fucking arse, Klopp. Sorry.
It's like the pitch was in good condition, so he thought, he can't use that excuse. What can I do? And I'll just blame Sheffield United's manager for this one.
He just looks at the table and goes, oh, I'm going to pile on that twat at the bottom.
But for your hackers, lads, Liverpool win that one, I think. Yeah,
I mean, they must, surely. But honestly, I would absolutely love to see an absolute 1-0 Sheffield United shithousery performance. 10 men behind the ball, 11% possession, one shot on target, 1-0 Sheffield United, and Klopp's head just fucking explodes in the post-match presser.
I think he'd retire. I think he'd resign live on BT Sports, then, wouldn't he?
What did you think of the game, Jürgen? Here's me fucking P45, all right? And lastly, rounding up the weekend's fixtures, we have got our hosts, beloved Everton, at home to Southampton. I imagine 3 points there for the Blues. UG?
I'd have to go Everton win there.
Yeah, they're really struggling, Southampton, with injuries, aren't they? I think they've got about 9 first-teamers out. And then I think we're into Tuesday here, I think. Next Tuesday, Man City, Wolverhampton Wanderers. That's a City win. I'm sure you would agree.
Yeah, I don't enjoy watching Wolves this season. I found them, without Jimenez, I don't know, they just seem a bit blunt up top.
They're struggling for a focal point, I think, aren't they? It's showing, really, because they've not looked great. And I think there's some like 12th, 13th in the league, which is, you know, well below par for what they've been doing the last couple of years. But, as you say, a big miss for them there. It's been lovely to chat to you, mate. We will be back at the end of this week, I believe, with a special guest discussing all things north of the United Kingdom border into Scotland. We're going to talk Celtic with a friend of ours, and our host will be back. G, have you enjoyed it, mate? Anything you'd like to add?
I have, mate. No, I'm going to have to go and do some research on Celtic. I think Henrik Larsson's still the top man up there, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, mate, that sounds about right. Yeah, I think he's still a 20 goal a season guaranteed up there. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll go and look into the history of Celtic.
Just don't bother, mate. Just lead with that.
But actually, I'll discuss this like next week anyway, the whole Rangers Celtic thing. But yeah, yeah, it's been a pleasure, mate.
Yeah, great to speak to you, buddy. Speak to you soon. Ta-ra. See you.